Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only Matthew Bourne, who is presenting his groundbreaking, iconic rendition of Swan Lake at the Kennedy Center on January 21st through the 26th. Hey, Matthew, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Hi, Jason. It's very good to talk to you.
All right, so before we get to Swan Lake, where are you now? You're all over the world all the time. You're in London now. Tell our listeners what you're up to right now.
Yeah, we're in London at the moment. With our production of Red Shoes that we brought to the Kennedy Center a couple of years ago, we've just revived it in London. We've just done a seven-week run there. We had a very busy year last year. We premiered a brand new piece, my version of Romeo and Juliet. So we've had a big year with Swan Lake going throughout that year as well, around Asia and all around the UK, and now on this final US tour. So we've been in Los Angeles for the Christmas season, and now we're coming to the Kennedy Center.
That's awesome. And we just want to remind our listeners, your version of it, I believe you started it like in 1994.
Won
several Tony Awards. You know, it's made its rounds for a couple decades now. But in case for some reason some of our listeners maybe missed it, explain how you got the idea to shake this thing up. You know, it was a classic Tchaikovsky ballet, but explain how you decided, you know, we're going to actually take the traditional female roles and flip them to male roles, and just explain why you got the idea to even do that.
Well, I figured, you know, the company I was running at the time and still running now, New Adventures, we're not a classical ballet company. You know, we're a dance theatre company. So if we were going to do Swan Lake at all, we needed to do it in our own way, in a different way. And there are enough classical versions around, you know, a lot of them very good. And so I thought if I was going to do it at all, I needed something very different. So the idea of male swans seemed like a great approach to something that's very familiar to people, and it kind of threw up so many interesting psychological things, along with it being such an iconic piece, and casting men instead of women as the swans was attention grabbing in many ways, but it was also fascinating for the story, you know, of a prince who can't love who he wants to love, you know, which is, again, very contemporary in its theme. So even at the time and even now, it's a very contemporary idea, you know, figure who's just looking for love, you know, a young person who's looking for love. So it's a very universal piece as well.
Absolutely. And that's sort of, you know, how you changed it up a little bit, but don't worry, you know, what elements, the beloved elements of Swan Lake still remain, of course. You still got the same story and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Remind our listeners why all the things they love
will be there as well.
Tchaikovsky
score. Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I wouldn't do it unless I loved the music, you know, and the music is the script for me in many ways. You know, Tchaikovsky wrote the most amazing music to dance to, but also to tell stories to. You know, he was very dramatic in his storytelling through music, which suits me down to the ground because I'm a storyteller. I mean, the other thing that that people often say about the piece is that it's all male, and it's not actually. It's a third of the cast are women, all the other roles played by women. It's just the swans that are male. And I suppose the other thing that to put people's minds at rest a little bit is it's not a send up, you know, it's a story that really moves people, and has done for, as you say, for a couple of decades now. It's people are often in tears at the end of this piece, as they should be in Swan Lake. You know, the music says it all. It's incredibly powerful, tragic music at the end, and I think we rise to the occasion with these male swans, you know, and people seem to agree. You know, you see all the hankies come out at the end of the show, and that's very gratifying.
Awesome. Tell me about the contribution of, make sure I'm saying this right, is it Les Brotherston, the set and the costume designer?
Les Brotherston, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Les is the designer I've spent most of my career with. You know, he's designed virtually all of my pieces. And Swan Lake was one of our very early collaborations, and where we really clicked, and what he's created in the show is pretty iconic. You know, it's become so famous, that look of the male swan is almost as famous as the famous ballerina in a tutu. You know, it's an incredible thing that we came up with together, of this kind of creature that looks, I suppose, a combination of a man, a bird, and an animal. You know, it's a real sort of mixture of things. They have sort of a face paint, you know, this sort of this black line that goes down the forehead across the nose, and it kind of denotes a beak in a way, but it's not in a literal way. It's its own thing. It's almost like a tribe, you know. It's very exciting. And his contribution to the piece was recognized with a Tony Award, of course, and been an amazing collaborator ever since. You know, I love working with him.
Now, what is that made out of? Is it actual, you know, feathers, like, compiled?
No, it's not bad. You'd have to ask him exactly what it's made from. It's sort of material that frays quite easily, and it moves very nicely, you know. I can't know exactly what it is, but people often try and work out what it is. It's certainly not feathers. It looks a bit like feathers, but it's not.
Almost looks like that famous Ginger Rogers top hat thing, but I'll look into what that material is. and
it's
then how about
to fly off? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's intended to fly off. Yeah. Yes. And then how about the light? Tell me a little bit about the lighting design by Paul.
Paulie Constable. Yeah, it's a lighting designer. Now, this production that we're showing at the Kennedy Center is a brand new production of our Swan Lake. You know, we refreshed it quite a lot. At the end of last year, or the year before now, for this tour. So Paulie came in as a brand new lighting designer for the show, and she's one of our associate artists. She's one of the world's top lighting designers on Broadway and in the West End, and she's brought such an incredible atmosphere to this piece now, and the drama is brought out more strongly. She's interesting. She paints with light. She paints from darkness to light, which is unusual, apparently. A lot of lighting designers sort of do it the other way around. But she paints in the light. And it creates incredible atmosphere and intimacy on a big stage, you know, so it works so well for this piece. Les has had another look at the designs, the set design. Some of the costumes are different. It's not exactly the same production as was seen on Broadway some years ago, but essentially, you know, it's the same story and it's the same characters. But we've had the chance to really hone it and give it a modern theatrical look. Because if you think about a piece that was made 25 years ago, which Swan Lake was this year, its 25th anniversary. There's a lot happened since then. You know, we encompass a bit of projection in our storytelling, all sorts of theatrical things you can do now that you couldn't do then. So it's not an old touring around. It's a bang up to date, brand new everything. So we're very proud of it.
For sure. We've gone a lot into, you know, Les's costumes and Paulie's, you know, painting with light. Unpack the set design a little bit more for me. You know, we're radio, so try to paint a visual picture with your words here. So when we come into the Kennedy Center, what are we going to see in terms of a set on stage?
Well, all of our shows are spectacular, you know, and we pride ourselves on reproducing the same show that you see, you know, in any city. It's the same, you know, we reproduce the show exactly as, and it's got an epic feel about it. The basic set is these sort of very imposing columns that give the sense of a royal background, you know, but then into those columns comes the nature, in a sense, the park and the moonlight, and it's a bit difficult to explain in many ways, because it's kind of poetic and nightmarish sometimes, and it's like going inside somebody's train of thought, train of consciousness at times. So as soon as I put it into words, it sounds odd. You know what I mean? It's one of those things you have to sort of experience and ask the questions yourself. But it's part of the reason that people love the piece, I think, is it, as you watch it, it's quite clear in its storytelling, but also there's a lot of question marks as well, and you enjoy working it out for yourself as well, what exactly is going on here and what the psychology of the characters is, and is this a man, is it a swan, is it an animal, what's going on, you know, who does he fall in love with? There's a lot of questions to be answered there. It's not straightforward.
Absolutely. Now, who do we, dish on the dancers a little bit, who do we have actually performing as those male swans, which are now iconic in their own right?
Yes, yeah. Well, it's very interesting, Jason, because all the whole cast of Swan Lake grew up with this piece. You know, all of the people who came to audition for it, for this production, this is the piece that it's their dream to be in, you know, especially the young men. And I'm like some sort of historic figure to them who, you know, many of them were not born when I made the piece. So that's been a bit of a shocker this time for me, but it's true. So you get incredible passion from the cast for this show because it's their dream show, dream roles. So the guys who play in the swan, it's an incredible experience. And all the swans, in fact, but the lead swan, we have a company dancer that's come up through my company over a few years called Will Bozier, who's terrific and got incredible power and magnetism and charisma on stage. And we have a dancer called Max Westwell, who came through the English National Ballet and has come from more of a ballet route. I mean, my dancers are made up from many different backgrounds, some from musical theater, some from ballet, some from contemporary dance, a real mix. And Max has come from a ballet route. He's powerful, sexy, all the things you want from the role, you know. And actually, for one show only at the Kennedy Center, we have Matthew Ball is coming over, who's been dancing with us in London last year. I mean, he's from the Royal Ballet, and he's one of the Royal Ballet's big new stars. And he's coming over to do a show on the Saturday matinee before he goes off to New York and does some shows there with us, with Swan Lake. So you get three different swans, all from very, very different backgrounds, very different. They're all coming at it from different places. All worth seeing, I would say, you know. And the guys playing the prince, it's an incredibly emotional tour de force from them. We get a very young, new talent, James Lovell, who's playing the prince in the first few performances at the Kennedy Center. And then one of our big company stars, Liam Moore, is coming over to play the prince for the rest of the week. And he's just been nominated for that role, actually, as a National Dance Award, as the prince in our Swan Lake. So obviously, we wanted to pitch our best dancers for the Kennedy Center because it's our debut there in terms of Swan Lake. We've performed there in other pieces, but we've never actually performed Swan Lake at the Kennedy Center. So we're thrilled finally to be doing that.
Awesome. What you mentioned, Kennedy Center, what makes it so special to perform there for you? I mean, you keep coming back time and again, but it's definitely a historic place.
It's difficult to explain, I best guess, when you're there, but I mean, you mention it here. It's such an iconic venue. It feels so prestigious. I feel very proud to say, oh, we're performing at the Kennedy Center next week in Washington, D.C. It sounds amazing, you know. And when you arrive there, of course, it's the most impressive, daunting even building, you know, to arrive at. It's spectacular. So, you know, we just love that we have this relationship with audiences there who've got to know and like our work over a few years, you know, and we just hope we can keep bringing new pieces to the audience there. Very appreciative audience of our work, I find. And so it's when you get that connection, you want it to keep growing, you know. So we've got a lovely relationship with everyone at the Kennedy Center and with the amazing audiences that we get.
Go a little more into the music itself, Tchaikovsky. It's so iconic, and I mean, there's something like, why is something so haunting, almost hypnotic? It's like some circular feel that sounds to the way the music unfolds, and it kind of, you know, wraps us into this vortex. But explain yes. What makes it so hypnotic.
Well, it's contradictory, actually, the music of Tchaikovsky, because on one level, you've got the most melodious, beautiful music that you could actually put lyrics to, and it would be a great musical. You know, you come out humming the songs. Every piece has got a melody that you just sticks with you. On the other side of Tchaikovsky, you've got a very troubled man who's conflicted in his life and his sexuality, and was not always successful artistically in his day. That comes across in the music as well, incredible power and conflict and emotion. Put all those things together, you know, you've got a winner. It's what everyone wants from a piece and a production that uses that music. It's so much to play with. You know, it gives you all the emotions that you need, as well as wit as well. You know, everything is there. And that's why I've done all the Tchaikovsky ballets. I've done all three of them and loved doing them, each one of them. And reinterpreting, in a way, what I hear in that music. Because for me, they're all very famous ballets, as you know, and they're done many times. One of the problems for a dance fan like myself is to try and wipe away those images I have in my head of the piece. So I have to listen and listen and listen to the music to hear what else might be in it and what I can find in it. Because I don't want to just impose things onto the music. I'm very reverential when it comes to the music. And that's the thing I respect, I think, more than anything. And so it's always a challenge, but a sort of really enjoyable challenge to take that music and that really makes you want to dance as well, but also makes you want to tell a great story.
For sure. And it's hard to believe it's been, you know, over 20 years, but if you can remember, what was it like sitting there on Tony night and, you know, hearing it, I guess, called three times, winning three times?
Well, Tony night was crazy. I mean, for a start, the show had closed, okay? So Swan Lake had been on for about 3 or 4 months, which for a dance piece is pretty damn good. But we weren't expecting to win anything because, as you know, sometimes the Tonys are more likely to go to shows that are currently playing to support the shows. So we thought, it's nice to be here, but we're not going to win anything. But then we did, you know, and I think I got the very first award of the evening, which was for choreography, which is the one I was secretly hoping I might get, you know, because I thought I might have a chance with that one. And it was presented by my friend Alan Cumming, who's always been a very good friend of mine. We started our careers together at the RSC. And he was the presenter. So it was a lovely thing, you know, to have Alan present this award to me. It was just very special. And then I thought I would relax for the evening. And, it was amazing to have won a Tony Award. And then I got another one, the director one, which I really wasn't expecting at all. And I come face to face when I'm making my speech with Hal Prince, who was also nominated, and he wasn't looking very happy, I have to say. And he was directly in my eye line. And I should tell you, cut to years later, like 20 years later, I actually finally met Hal Prince. Somebody introduced us, and he just looked at me and said, "You're the guy who stole my Tony Award." So he'd never forgotten it, you know. But he was lovely about it, of course, you know. But, you know, it was a complete thrill and one of the great memorable nights of my life, really. And it was so lovely that my parents were there to see it. I managed to get them over for the Tony Awards, and they were both there. So that was a lovely thing.
Awesome. Well, that was 20 years ago. Now, flash forward, you know, just sort of in closing, bringing it full circle. 20 years later, what still gets you up in the morning to do this piece? You know, some people might have had the success all that long ago and then just, you know, hung it up and moved on to something else. Of course, you have moved on to a ton of other things. Mary Poppins, Red Shoes, everything, Cinderella.
Yeah.
But what about this still inspires you all these years later, you know?
Well, I still feel great about it. I would probably feel not so great about it if I'd never had another successful piece, you know. It would be like, okay, one-hit wonder. You know, that was always a worry. The fact of had, you know, like the company's got 12 full-length pieces now that we tour and, you know, that we revive, and it's great. And I love reviving work. So you say I never get bored with the pieces. They're never around all the time. So Swan Lake, we'll put it to bed this year once it finishes in the American tour for probably 4 or 5 years. You know, it's not around all the time. And when it comes back, it'll be fresh again for me. But the thing that gets me up in the morning, as you put it, is the talent, actually, the young talent that I get to work with. And I don't get tied to old casts, you know, like some choreographers and directors do. They don't really want to see anyone but the original people doing a role, or they're always a bit disappointed. For me, I'm constantly excited and renewed by the talent I get to work with. And I want them to be good. You know, it's more about them in a way than me, and I want them to be good in these roles. And I kind of love nurturing that talent. That's what gets me up in the morning.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. You've been really generous with your time. We'll let you get back at it over there in London with the red shoes. But just reminding everybody, again, this is Matthew Barnes, New Adventures, Swan Lake, coming to the Kennedy Center January 21st through the 26th. So get your tickets now. Thank you so much. It's an honor to talk with you finally.
Thanks so much, Jason. Thank you.